Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I did it. I opened up the piano. But I'm not going to tell you what happened, not yet. I will tell you at some point, though. I do appreciate, for those of you who follow me on Twitter, you already know what happened, and I appreciate the moral support. It was a little bit traumatic for me. I was scared. My heart was beating quickly, kind of like stepping on the mound for the first time in a postseason baseball game. Okay, not really like that, but it was a big moment for me and for the household. Thanks so much for tuning in. We are marching our way toward the weekend. There's so much going on this weekend in basketball, in football, yes, in hockey. Sorry, hockey, we don't talk about you nearly as much this time of the year, but it's a really big weekend for me personally. My first two basketball games of the year doing play-by-play, so been doing a lot of prep to get ready for those. And of course, we've got LSU, Bama, as well as other big college football games. November is chock full of drama on the college football gridiron. And we will kick off week 10 in the NFL. What? We'll kick off, let me say that again. We'll kick off week 10 in the NFL in mere hours. And so there's a lot to do. We're going to give you our surprises of this past week, of course. We're going to talk to a former Mississippi State and NFL tight end. Reggie Kelly is one of my favorites, and I thought it would be a good time to catch up with him because not only did he play in the SEC, but he played at Tuscaloosa, which is where the game is going on this weekend. In addition to that, tight end is a critical position this year. Lots of evolution at that position on the football field. And so Reggie, who I met in Atlanta during Super Bowl week, he's quickly become like family. He's amazing, and happy to have him on the show again. So we've got a lot planned for tonight. Love for you to find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Here's my question. Before I even tell you how I feel, how do you feel about load management in sports? How do you feel about the phrase? How do you feel about the concept? How do you feel about the practice? Load management. Okay, this is not really meant to be an insult, but it's definitely meant to be condescending. So I guess if you get mad at me and I offend you, oh well. It's such a millennial term, load management. I never heard of that before these last few years, and it's quickly becoming my least favorite phrase in sports. Now, because I'm really good at my job, because I know how to be an objective journalist when I need to be, and because I know how to pick apart every angle of a story, whether I believe it and agree with it or not, I can present the opposite argument. I can present the other side of the debate. I can give you all the reasons why load management, I feel like I have to say it that way, why it's important and why it's actually preventative maintenance. But the term itself annoys me. I feel like dropping a few F-bombs like Chargers owner Dean Spanos did when he was denying any concept, any idea, any truth that the Chargers would be moving to London. Load management. How do you feel about that phrase? I didn't say it this time about millennials. I do have a favorite phrase about millennials. I didn't even say it. I feel as though I'm maturing when it comes to this particular generation of peeps. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. So get yours with Rocket Mortgage. That's push button. Get mortgage. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. The reason we're asking you about load management is because it's getting a lot more attention with the NBA Finals MVP already missing multiple games with the Clippers because of, you guessed it, load management. Are you going to get tired of me saying it like that? You probably are. I'm going to get tired of saying it like that, as a matter of fact. But I feel like I can hear almost that deep guttural echoey voice. Load management. I know, it's odd, the things that to go on in my head. Well, here's what we found out. The NBA's okay with it. In fact, even as Kawhi was missing tonight's big-time matchup against the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, he's with a different team. He's not with the Raptors. This isn't the Eastern Conference Finals. But these are two very high-profile teams that the NBA put on national TV early in the season to pique interest. It was supposed to feature not just the NBA Finals MVP, but the regular season MVP and some major star power. Even as Paul George is getting ready to return, the Clippers don't have Kawhi Leonard on the court because of load management. And actually, this is the second time in a week that Kawhi has missed a national television game. Now, part of this is the NBA's fault because the NBA and its TV partners have scheduled a boatload of LA games on national TV. Kawhi is laughing at us. Yes, he is. Not with us, at us. Both the Clippers and the Lakers are on TV pretty much every time you find a nationally televised game, it's one or the other. And if they're forced to carry an Eastern Conference game, well then, it's only a matter of time until one of the LA teams is back on your tube. Seriously, between those two teams, they account for a lot of national TV real estate. And so it's partly that they've got so many nationally televised games that if they're going to manage Kawhi's load in LA, well, then he's going to miss a lot of these games that are on national TV. But here's the interesting thing that the NBA or an NBA spokesman said on Wednesday. Kawhi Leonard is not a healthy player under the league's resting policy. Raise your hand if it's the first time you heard of the NBA having a resting policy. Now, it was changed a few years ago. Remember, they actually instituted a resting policy. I shouldn't say it was changed. It was born a couple years ago. Why? Because resting and load management are something relatively new to the league. And that's why you hear so many of the previous generation players, and I don't even mean long, long time ago, just going back to the early part of this century, or the 90s, the 80s and the 90s, load management and resting healthy players, unheard of. I cut my teeth on 80s NBA. Love the 80s and the 90s in the association when I was growing up, and this was never even talked about, never discussed. First half of my career, never. This was never a topic. But now it's a thing. It's a real thing. So according to the league's resting policy, Kawhi Leonard is not a healthy player. He's got a knee injury that he's managing, which is where the load management comes in. He's managing a knee injury in the Clippers injury report. By the way, this is spokesman Mike Bass, in case you want to point a finger at someone, but he's speaking for the league. All of the medical peeps got together the team's medical staff. They had conversations. Yep. And this was the determination. Leonard is not sufficiently healthy to play in back-to-back games at this time. Interesting. That's not quite how Doc Rivers puts it when asked about the health of Kawhi Leonard.
Feels great, but he feels great because of what we've been doing, you know, and we're just going to continue to do it. There's no concern here, but we want to make sure, you know, I think Kawhi made the statement he's never felt better. It's our job to make sure he stays that way, you know, and that's important. But he played a lot of minutes in the playoffs last year. And, you know, so it's not a health thing. Really, it is in some ways. We want him to just keep feeling better, you know, and getting better.
And so according to Coach Rivers, Doc, he feels great. But they believe he feels great because he's not being asked to play too much. Because he's not being asked to play in back-to-backs. So it's a little bit of a different twist, a different perspective. The league is saying he's not sufficiently healthy to play in back-to-back games. His coach is saying, because he's not playing in back-to-back games, he's healthy. So which is it? Either way, the point is, bottom line, the NBA is on board with the Clippers not requiring Kawhi, not that they could force him to. The Clippers don't want him to do damage to his knee. Kawhi doesn't want to play in back-to-back games. And so if you are a fan of a team that gets the Clippers in your arena, either on the front end or the back end of a back-to-back, well, there's a real good shot you're not going to see Kawhi Leonard. There's a real good chance that he will be on the bench. Right now, according to Doc, they don't have an actual plan for how they're going to do this, which means no advance notice. They go through practice. They see how he feels. This was the first time when they played back-to-backs. So he's missed part of a back-to-back twice in the last week. The earlier set of back-to-backs, not the one that involved the Bucks tonight, but the earlier set, he actually missed the first game of the back-to-back. So the point is, if you're a fan and you have tickets to go to a game to see the Clippers play your team, expecting a good game, expecting star power, expecting to see some of the best, well then, you just better be prepared that Kawhi may not be out there. Check the schedule. Because if it's part of a back-to-back, there's a 50-50 shot that he's not going to be on the court at an arena near you. Again, Doc says, we don't really choose. There's no plan for how Kawhi is going to manage the back-to-backs. But he didn't play tonight against Milwaukee. He will play tomorrow against Portland. And according to the NBA, he's not a healthy player under the league's resting policy. What? I'm just telling you like it is. I will readily admit that I'm old school. I'm one of those athletes, and I'm used to covering athletes. I mean, again, in the earlier part of my career, to be sure, that played until they were hurt. They didn't sit if they were healthy. They played until they couldn't play. But it's different now. It's different for athletes these days. Now, you would get a catcher who had played a full 9 innings or even extra innings on, say, a Friday night, who would then take off Saturday and not be catching a few hours later because it was a day game following a night game. So that kind of stuff, yeah. But it's a shift in the last few years, specifically in the NBA. You don't hear about it in hockey, but specifically in the NBA, where guys are now into the preventative maintenance. They're going ahead and taking games off and days off, even if they are healthy, just in case they get hurt. He did play a lot of minutes last year, obviously, and over the course of his career, his time in San Antonio, the year in Toronto, he's played a lot of minutes. You look at the injuries, the guys for the Warriors who are banged up. Now, some of them are freak injuries, like injuries that happen in a moment. But a lot of times injuries are because your body is breaking down. And so the more minutes you play, the fewer months or weeks you have time to take off, well, the more likely you are to get hurt. It's just interesting, the two perspectives from the NBA. According to all the medical peeps, he's not fully healthy under the league's resting policy. But according to Doc Rivers, he feels good. We want to keep it that way, which is why he's missing half of back-to-backs for the foreseeable future. What is your reaction to load management? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I don't want him to get hurt because I think the NBA is better with him out there. Still, it's frustrating, I think. It would be frustrating for me if I was a fan. Frustrating that you can see healthy players sitting on the bench. Not because DNP coach's decision, but because they need a night off. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Bucks up 7. Middleton spins in. Left hand flip. No good. Giannis cleaned it up and slammed it with a left hand. 112-103. Giannis up to 29. Korver, left wing. Boy, he had an open three and hesitated a moment. He rarely hesitates. Giannis for his fourth three. Yes! ABC! Easy as 1-2-3 for the MVP. 115-103. Four made threes by Giannis will match his career high. Giannis spins in on Jermichael Green. Goes to work. Up and under. To the rim. Flip it with a left hand. Using the length. 119-110, 34 for Giannis.
Kind of found a way to weather a big storm. Made enough plays. Giannis was, you know, I think he played the whole fourth quarter and was just fabulous. So, George Hill, first half in general. And those guys, tough cover. Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, in some ways, you know, they just get to play with the ball for the whole game. And those two are pretty dynamic.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mike Budenholzer, head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks, as they edge the Clippers in a game in which there was no Paul George and no Kawhi Leonard, but still a really exciting game. The Bucks hit 18 three-pointers. Giannis had 38 points, 16 rebounds. George Hill had 24 off the bench. So it was a good, entertaining game. But still, to know that as a fan, if you buy tickets to see your team play the Clippers, or if you buy tickets to Staples Center to watch the Clippers at home, there's a good chance that you're going to miss seeing their star player. So that there's a little history here. I'll pass them along. Kawhi Leonard actually hasn't played in a back-to-back since spring of 2017. And whether or not he gets to the point where the NBA considers him to be completely healthy under its resting policy, there's no plan for them to play him in any back-to-backs moving forward. And it's just such a shift in perspective. the NBA has done a lot to stretch out the schedule. So there are no three games in four nights anymore. They don't do that in three different cities. So they've taken away the back-to-back-to-backs. They've taken away three and four nights when you're on the road. They've taken a lot of the back-to-backs out of the schedule by stretching out the length of time from when the schedule starts to when it finishes. They've stretched it out now so that they can have fewer back-to-backs per team. So in light of trying to keep superstars, and not just superstars, but of course it's a superstar-driven league, in light of this idea of trying to keep them healthy and trying to keep them productive over the course of the season, but also because the Players Association has complained about the number of nights in a row in which they had to play, the NBA has changed its schedule. But to not be able to have advance notice, now you remember that in San Antonio, and it wasn't just Kawhi, but Greg Popovich would give advance notice when his players were not going to appear in a major ball game. Remember the year after Miami and San Antonio went to the two consecutive finals? There was a nationally televised game in which they would play in the regular season, and he let it be known ahead of time that his star players in Tim Duncan and Tony Parker, I don't remember if there were others, maybe Manu, maybe not, but that they wouldn't be playing. So the people knew ahead of time. And Doc Rivers empathizes with that. He says, I understand that it's tough when we can't give you advance notice because we don't know how we're going to handle this moving forward. We obviously have to do what's right by our players. We have to. It's our duty. As for a fan, it's a really tough one. There's no correct answer. I can't give you one that will satisfy that person you're talking about, the person who shows up and wants to see these stars in person and only has the opportunity to do it once. So the idea of having days off where you're not playing games and you can take those off from practice, that's kind of expanded now where guys take games off as well. And remember in the past, we've even had some, this happened with LeBron a bunch and got a lot of headlines, a lot of chatter around it, where he wouldn't even travel with the team. But I'm a big fan of guys like Chris Paul, who considered it a career achievement when he played all 82 games in a regular season. He was proud of that. And so I'd love to get your opinion on load management. A lot of you weighing in now on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Coming up, we'll turn our attention to football a little bit. We've got the latest from Nick Saban on his star quarterback and his status against LSU. Another star quarterback, hint, hint, MVP, seeing increased workload in practice. So good stuff. Good stuff coming out of in the NBA. Interesting start to the season, as much as this has been a controversy for the Clippers and for Kawhi. And also, we're gearing up for first full weekend of football in November. Actually, I guess last weekend was a full, yeah, it was. I was traveling, so my days got all blended together. But yes, our second full weekend of football in November. Man, the time flies. It's crazy. And so I'll get to your tweets and I'll get to your Facebook posts as well. And I appreciate the discussion, not putting the guys down. There's no reason to make fun or call them names, anything like that. That's not what I'm talking about. Just this change in perspective in the world that we live in now in professional sports. It's way different than it used to be. And I don't even mean 30 years ago. I wasn't working in sports 30 years ago. But just the way it was, say, 10 years ago. And it's also interesting to see the perspective of guys who played 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and how much it's changed.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Tua waits in the shotgun. Here's Judy in motion, goes behind Tua and Najee. Now Tua looks right, nothing there, throws long, end zone, Devontae, touchdown, Alabama! Devontae Smith, what a day he is having!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Alabama hosting LSU. The atmosphere will be insane, and I mean that as complimentary and positive as possible. I wish I could be there in T-Town for what is being called the Game of the Century 2.0. Blech. No, it's not the Game of the Century, and you don't get to have two Games of the Century. However, it is going to be incredible, and I'm hoping the game itself lives up to all of the hype. Eli Gold from Learfield with the call for Alabama and Tua Tagovailoa, who is making strides after the high ankle sprain and then this surgery that he had done. Wasn't the first time he had it done. He'd had it done before the SEC championship. I don't remember if it was last year or the year before, but he is looking more mobile, according to Nick Saban, and there's a good chance he will play versus LSU. Speaking of mobility, we know that Joe Burrow, the quarterback for the Tigers, has that, though the Tigers haven't beaten Alabama since 2011. So a lot of incentive, not necessarily for the locker room because they weren't part of all of those games, but definitely for LSU as a whole, for the fan base. This is one of those great rivalries in the SEC and in college football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Coming up next hour, some insight about what it's like to play in that nutso SEC atmosphere, including the one at Alabama with the former Mississippi State and NFL tight end. Reggie Kelly first to cross paths with me at the Super Bowl in Atlanta, and we have become fast friends, if not family, so excited to have him on the show again. We're talking about load management with Kawhi Leonard, and there are other guys in the past who've kind of gone through the cycle, LeBron James being one of those, though LeBron says changes to his routine, his diet, have allowed him now to be ever more durable, and he doesn't want to take nights off. We don't see that as much. End of last year, he was hurt, and then the team eventually shut him down. But right now, it's Kawhi that's kind of the poster child for this. And it goes back to the end of his San Antonio tenure. Certainly, we saw it during the Toronto Raptors year. Not the years, but the year, the 1 year with the Raptors in which they were preserving him. They wanted him to be healthy during the playoffs and during the spring, and it worked, right? So there's no reason for the Clippers not to do it because it worked to perfection for the Raptors and Kawhi as an NBA Finals MVP who hit game-winning shots and who was able to thrive and show all this incredible energy later in the season and on into the postseason. So it did work. It's just weird to hear the NBA talk about how under our resting policy, he's not fully healthy. Don't give me some BS. Just say we don't want him to play on back-to-backs because we want him to be healthy later in the year. It is unfortunate for the fans. And a lot of you are weighing in from your fan perspective, which I appreciate, to be sure. But speaking of workload, Pat Mahomes has increased his. So it's good to know that the NFL MVP is getting closer to playing football on the field. Not on the field. On the field, an actual game is what I should have said.
Patrick's going to practice today. I can't give you an answer on how much, or we're going to see how he does. And then I think it's going to be day to day. We've got to see how he handles. He didn't take a ton of reps last week. So we'll try to increase him here a little bit and see how it works out.
Andy Reid before Wednesday's practice, in which he was second behind Matt Moore in terms of the reps and how they lined up. But as you hear Andy Reid say, the plan was for them to increase the workload. They did that. And we'll now wait to find out what the medical staff says, whether or not he's cleared. They don't want to put him at risk, obviously. He's not that far removed from the dislocated kneecap. But, man, to see him running up and down the field when Harrison Butker was hitting the game-winning field goal for the Chiefs last week. But even before that, with about 2.5 minutes to go, he hit a 54-yarder to tie the game. And so, you know, big deal that he's able to run up and down the field and be mobile. But can he do everything that's required of him? Can he take a hit in a football game as well? So there's a lot that the medical staff is paying attention to. Not sure yet if he will be cleared this upcoming weekend. The Chiefs right now at 6-3 on top of the AFC West, and they're facing a game on the road at the Titans in week number 10. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. A little bit later on, Kyle Allen, who's now the undisputed starter as the Carolina Panthers have put Cam Newton on IR. It's interesting to hear his thoughts about Cam these last couple of weeks and watching Cam go through the rehab, and also what it meant to the locker room to have Cam shut down for the rest of the way. That's a topic that we have covered a lot when it comes to the Panthers, but also that we talk about a lot during the football season is guys who are playing hurt, short work weeks in which they have to get out there on the field even though their bodies haven't fully recovered. It's a different lens for various sports when you're talking about playing hurt, playing dinged up, playing through injuries. And I saw one tweet that compared it to head injuries. That's not what we're talking about. When I say that guys used to play through injuries or that they would play as long as they were fully healthy, yada, 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 and how different it is now that you didn't hear much about load management, if at all, going back 10 years. We're not talking about guys with concussions. I mean, we're not talking about head injuries. Nobody wants to see a guy out there who doesn't know what day of the week it is or who's having blackouts. That's completely different than a guy who's managing his load because, according to the NBA, because he's got a bulky knee. But in any case, because they want to preserve him for long term. Those are two completely different things. 855-212-4227. Thomas is listening in Michigan. Welcome to After Hours. Thomas. I will never understand calling up and then not being ready to go or not paying any attention when you do call up. Sean says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, the problem is the load these young NBA players take on in youth basketball. Too many games at a young age. By the time they get to the league, they are already hurting. So that's interesting. I wonder if Sean had an original thought on his own or if he got it from Earl Watson. So this tweet has been sent to us by a listener, and it comes from a guy who played in the league. Load management isn't the toll of the NBA schedule. It's the toll of youth travel basketball, playing 12 to 15 games a weekend to keep the monthly fees validated. That hurts the players later in life, and rookies are entering the NBA hurting. Youth hoops need less games and more teaching. So it's funny because our listener, Sean, essentially just spit out what former NBA player Earl Watson had to say. And Arthur on Twitter, thank you for calling my attention to it. Doug Christie, also a former NBA player, kind of quoted that tweet from Earl Watson and gave it a thumbs up. There are all kinds of theories about why guys, young guys, break down earlier or why there are so many injuries. And it's hard to pinpoint one particular reason. I don't even think it's possible to do that. Because you can step wrong and tear your ACL. Is that about load management? Is it because your ACL is tired or your ACL is weaker? Your knees have been put through the ringer if you're, if you, you know, are playing a regular schedule? Well, I guess it could be, but it doesn't have to be. And that's the part that's difficult, is you can manage your load. You can take extra days off in addition to the days off you have in between your games. You can do all kinds of things to protect your physical body and try to be as well rested as possible. And you can still suffer a fluke injury on the court. Did Klay Thompson tear his ACL because he had played so many games in the last 4.5 years, 5 years? No. It's because of collision. Because of contact in a game. I mean, I've literally been witness to it, both during my playing career and when I was covering specific basketball teams earlier in my career. I mean, a player can step on another player's foot. In the case of a walkthrough, I saw a young woman she didn't even plant her foot. She just took a step, popped her ACL just like that. The season had barely started. And so there is no way to ever completely prevent injuries. You can lessen the wear and tear, but it doesn't automatically mean that you're going to be able to play the length of a season to be as healthy and spry and energetic as you were at the beginning when you get to the end. It's impossible to say that, and it's the ethereal concept that's hard for us to wrap our brains around sometimes, because there's really no way to prevent injuries. But one way that your body is maybe able to hold up better is if it takes less pounding and you're not out there on the court as much. So there's no one right formula. Let's see. Here's a tweet. To me, it's a cop-out for players. He's referring to load management. These guys are supposed to be the best shape in the world. They play a game for 2.5 hours. I get how competitive it is, but tell that to the kid who wants to see his favorite player only to watch him sit out because of the load management BS. Lots of you weighing in on our Facebook page as well. Tommy says, it tells me the season is too long since teams don't care if they lose a game in November. Shorten the season. Fans want to see the stars playing. Josh says, for Kawhi, I'm sure this was part of the agreement to play around 60 to 65 games and little to none on back-to-backs. If that's what it took to sign him, then so be it. Dewan on Facebook, load management in basketball is a load of crap. I like your play on words there. This is one of the reasons I don't watch the NBA. If I were a fan that lived in the region of a team in an opposite conference and only get one chance to see a certain player, get paid to see a certain player, or I paid to say play to see a certain player, but he decided to sit out, I'd be furious. He says, only way a player should be sitting is if he's seriously injured or suspended. Except that's not the way it is in 2019. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.